90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, our guest is no stranger. She's been here before. And for those that may not know, November is National Diabetes Month. And diabetes is a disease that every 21 seconds somebody is diagnosed with. And over 290,000 people impacted in the Kansas City metropolitan area. An estimated 30.3 million people in the United States, or 9.4% of the population, have diabetes. About 1 in 4 people with diabetes don't know they have the disease, and this disease is fastly becoming a national crisis. Our guest this morning is Ms. Connie Kleinbeck, who's the Associate Clinical Educator at Truman Medical Center. Good morning, Connie. Welcome back to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So, Connie, are you originally from Kansas City, or did you get wings and fly here from some other location?
I originally grew up in Richmond, Missouri, about 50 miles away from here.
Yep, I know what that's for. Right, not too far from Nevada.
So. It's about 50. Richmond's about 50 miles from here. We have a lot of people that even commute from Richmond to Kansas City.
Wow. So how long have you worked at Truman Medical Center?
20 years now.
That is a long time. Does it seem like just yesterday that you were just starting and you look back and say, now, wow, time has flown?
Oh, absolutely.
Connie, November is National Diabetes Month and a time when communities across America come together to bring attention to diabetes and its impact upon the millions of Americans. Why is it so important to continue to raise awareness about diabetes?
The problem is diabetes symptoms are easily ignored. We've got an excuse for how we feel. I'm just getting older. I drink more fluid, so I'm in the bathroom more. And you don't stop and think that it could be diabetes. It's not like touching a hot pan. You touch a hot pan, you know immediately that you've got pain. So the symptoms, we need to stop and recognize what's going on with our changes in our body. Over 25% of people over the age of 65 have diabetes. Many of those don't realize it. And again, they are just saying, well, you know, I'm just getting older.
Connie, we say the word diabetes, but what exactly is diabetes?
Diabetes means that the blood sugar is increased. It's not necessarily caused from eating sugar. Our bodies are constantly making sugar. What's supposed to happen is as the blood sugar goes up, the body is supposed to handle it and then just automatically bring it down. But when the blood sugar goes up and the person has diabetes, the body doesn't understand how to use the food that we eat. And then it just creates a vicious cycle of symptoms. But diabetes is definitely treatable. It's treatable with lifestyle, changes in our diet, increasing activity. We have many different medications available. There are many different medication plans available to help people with or without insurance to get the medication and the help that they need.
Connie, what are some warning signs? As you said, frequent urination, increased thirst. What are some warning signs that somebody may need to say, you know, I may need to get this looked at. This is maybe just more than a little bit something that I think is nothing.
Some people, when their body doesn't understand how to use the sugar, they literally start losing the weight. They don't understand what's going on because they may be hungry, they're eating like a horse, but yet they're losing weight. They're thinking maybe they have cancer. when actually it's diabetes. They can just be exhausted, and it makes logical sense. You drink more, you're in the bathroom, you're not sleeping at night, so you're going to be tired over the next day. Then over time, you find that you just can't concentrate because of the sleep deprivation. Some people are more prone to infections. That's why we're seeing with the COVID, people with diabetes have problems handling the COVID because they just don't have the adequate, their body just can't heal like it should.
So as you bring up COVID, and people who have diabetes, immune type disorders, are more susceptible to catching COVID, what should people need to know about diabetes and COVID?
The biggest things is also for all Americans, we need to make sure that we're wearing our mask when we go out in public. When anyone comes to the home, even as a visitor, go ahead and wear a mask. Wash your hands all the time. Keep hand sanitizer in your pocket so that you can wash it. Wash your hands no matter what. Maintain the social distance at least 6 feet apart. Avoiding the crowds is the biggest, because you cannot look at somebody and say, yes, I know you have COVID. It's not like you're bleeding. Somebody's bleeding, you know there's an immediate problem that you need to handle. COVID may not have the symptoms that you would think of. People may cough, but we've also got other reasons that people cough. Maybe they've got lung problems, allergies, changes in the weather. So we've just got to pay attention. People need to have a thermometer at home so that they can check their thermometer, check their temperature.
And I will say this. I actually had COVID really before it was here, and I just didn't feel well. This was back in December, and I just didn't feel well, and I went to the doctor. And I went the first night, and I had the doctor who I call, he likes to give you a Z-pack for everything. And I went home the next day, wasn't feeling any better. Immediately the next day went back to the ER. And the doctor that I presented with a fever, difficulty breathing, chest congestion. And the doctor said, you got a fever, you're having difficulty breathing. He gave me a breathing treatment. And while he was doing that, he said, you know, I wanted to take some blood. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm sitting there, you know, doing the medication through the inhaler. And he comes back and he says, okay, I'm going to give you a cough suppressant, a cough expectorant. This is antibiotics to help you with the other things. And then he kind of stopped and he said, you've got something funky in your blood. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he didn't say the word COVID. What he said was, I can guarantee you this. If you go home, do what I tell you to do, and you'll be fine. He said, but if you don't go home and do what I tell you to do, he said, you're going to be back here in 2 weeks in ICU. And a lot of people may think that it is not, it's not that difficult. I personally had it. I've had friends who've passed away from it. And we know Thanksgiving is a double whammy for those that have diabetes, because one, you have to look at what you eat, but also this year you may not be able to get mom's apple pie or mom's rolls or, you know, your aunt's smoked turkey, because being diabetic, you are more susceptible to catching COVID, and a lot of people are asymptomatic. So, you know, I know we haven't seen our families, but if we want to do it this year, maybe do a family Zoom. You know, if you have FaceTime or Skype, do it that way. But, you know, our medical systems are stressed right now. And we, as they were saying, you don't want to have the huge Thanksgiving and then have a empty space at the table come Christmas because people didn't socially distance. So for those with diabetes, they definitely, how important kind is it for you to watch what you're eating during this time of year?
Absolutely, because sometimes you tend to overeat and then you're not as active. with the weight gain and then with the higher blood sugars just can make a person feel more miserable.
What are some of the risk factors, Connie, that will lead to a person becoming diabetic?
Weight has a big issue. And, you know, when we think of obesity, sometimes when people change the way that they eat, just like giving up regular soda and going to diet soda, if they can lose 5% of their weight, they've got a 50% less risk of going on to develop diabetes. Increasing their activity. You don't have to go to the gym. What I tell people is, you know, if you're going to be talking on the phone, walk in your home while you're talking on the phone. If you're watching TV, do something while you're watching, listening to a commercial. You can march in place, move your arms, do cheerleading, punching bag type thing. Any activity is more than just sitting there, just watching and breathing.
So, Connie, if you think you may have diabetes, how does the doctor test to see if you have diabetes or you're diabetic?
They can do just a simple blood test. Sometimes we can do just a finger prick and see the blood sugar. So, if you go into the doctor's office and it's at what they call non-fasting, just any time, and that blood sugar is over 200, we know that that person probably has diabetes. If the person hasn't eaten anything yet that day, and we test their blood sugar and it's over 126, we know that there's a good chance that they have diabetes. Pre-diabetes is when that blood sugar is around 110. They used to call it borderline. Basically, what it means is pre-diabetes, you've got a chance of making lifestyle changes, changes in the way you eat, changes in your activity. Some people will also use a little bit of medication, like metformin, for example, to help get the weight off and lower the blood sugar and decrease the chances. There are classes also available either online or in doctor's offices. Offered.
As you were talking about pre-diabetes, an estimated 84.1 million Americans age 18 and over have pre-diabetes, and this is almost a third of the United States population. How much of a health concern is diabetes for, as we're looking at numbers, a third of the people in the nation have pre-diabetes, and then about another 20 to 30% have actual diabetes. How much of a health crisis and concern is this?
Then you become, it goes into a vicious cycle because we run into a high blood pressure. The kidneys are damaged. People can end up on dialysis, have heart attacks, strokes, visual impairment, blindness. It affects their quality of life. They're not able to work. They're not able to enjoy their families like they used to.
We've talked about pre-diabetes and we've talked about diabetes. Connie, how many different types of diabetes are there?
Type 1 diabetes is about 5% of the population. That's when that person must have insulin injections to survive. Type 2 is what we see most, about 95% of the time. What that means is the body doesn't understand how to use the insulin that our body makes or the food that we eat. Gestational diabetes is when a person is pregnant. And what we're finding is many women that have diabetes in pregnancy actually probably have type 2 diabetes. And if they do not follow the dietary recommendations, change their lifestyle to go to more of a prevention, over 50% of the ladies with gestational diabetes will develop diabetes. Some people who take steroids on a long-term basis may get steroid-induced diabetes. So people who are taking prednisone, for example, long term, may develop diabetes. Those are the most common. There's some other rare types that we don't see very often, but these are the most common things that people need to be aware of.
And for children who are born to a mother who may have had gestational diabetes, how likely are they to possibly maybe become diabetic, you know, at the age of 15, 16, 17?
That's a tough question to answer because, again, it's going to depend on how the child's lifestyle habits are. But there is a good chance as that child ages that they will develop diabetes. It's not going to be that they will have diabetes immediately when they're born or, say, by the time they're two. It may gradually happen as they go on.
As we talk about diabetes, the A1C test is the primary test that the doctor uses to do that, but how also is A1C test used in your diabetes management and diabetes care?
The A1C tells us what their blood sugar has been on the average for the past 2 or 3 months. So this lets us know how the medication is working. Do we need to change the diabetes medication regimen? Do we need to look at their meal plan? How is their eating affecting it? Again, with the activity. One of the things that we have now is more of what they call continuous glucose monitoring. The A1C tells us on an average of what's been going on. Continuous glucose monitor, what we can do, we look at what we call time and range. Out of a 24-hour period, how often was that blood sugar, say, between 80 and 130, 80 to 180? How many times did that person have a low blood sugar or high blood sugar? And that lets us, that lets the person really focus in on how their lifestyle is affecting the blood sugar to see how the changes can be made.
And the one thing that, you know, I've known, I know a lot of people who have diabetes that they hate it was the finger stick. Because, you know, but the continuous glucose monitoring systems essentially eliminate the finger stick, that, you know, so you don't, and it can be, you really don't even need to monitor anymore with a lot of the CGMS systems that I've looked at to talk about for this radio show today. They can be downloaded to your smartphone.
Absolutely.
So you
and
don't,
many other regular glucose monitors can also download to the smartphone. One of the biggest things is the CGM are not always affordable for people. Medicaid and Medicare insurance companies may cover them, but sometimes we have to look and see and give them reasons, what they call prior authorizations, for the person to get it. Some of the companies have some programs to try and make it more affordable. Sometimes the doctor's office can do what they call a two-week trial, but that person doesn't, they call it a blind trial. So they're wearing it, and then they take the device back to the doctor's office, and then the doctor's office is able to download the information and try and help the person figure out the best way to treat the diabetes.
I know one of the things that I learned while researching for the show is that some of the continuous glucose monitoring systems, like the Freestyle Libre and a couple of the others, people complained about it coming off. But Amazon sells a patch, for those of you all who have Amazon Prime, that is specifically made to go over the continuous glucose monitoring system like a giant Band-Aid to keep it in place, because you only, if you do it correctly, you only have to change it every 14 days. And you get a continuous 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when you get up, instead of you having to get up and take your blood sugar, you can get up and see what your blood sugar was while you were sleeping and know exactly in the morning what it is right then and there. So there have been some great improvements that people can look at to where it's not about having to, it's not so challenging to manage your diabetes. It is easier to manage your diabetes because of the new advances in technology.
And the CGMs also have alerts built in to the system now, too. So if a person may not always know when their blood sugar is too low or too high, and it will give them a message to say, hey, you need to start paying attention to prevent an emergency situation.
So as we look at different things, Connie, are the signs and symptoms in diabetes always the same in men as well as women?
Not necessarily.
What are some?
Women may notice that they have more itching in their privates. Men may notice that their sex life isn't what they had hoped it would be.
Let me ask this question, Connie. Why is diabetes so prevalent in the Latino and African American community?
It's hard to know if it's related to genetics or if it's related just to a combination of genetics and lifestyle factors. Again, the obesity, the diet that we eat, the high fat, high carbohydrates, the fast food, things like that.
So if you have questions for Connie about diabetes or diabetes care, give us a call at our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So one of the barriers, I know I live in a third district, and it is the most, we have lower life expectancies than any other community. Connie, what can we do to help increase that? How role does diabetes play in that?
One of the things is trying to make sure that people have access to the proper foods to eat, their medications. It can be embarrassing to say, hey, I don't have money for food, I don't have money for medications. But there are programs out there that are available. We've got food pantries, different organizations. Like, for example, Truman has programs, SWOPE has programs available, Sam Rogers. So as we get more access to care, people can be as healthy as possible.
We've got a caller online too, frequent one of our long-term listeners and frequent callers. Rich, can you tell us what part of town you call from and what your question or comment is for Connie?
Overland Park. Connie, let me turn off my radio so you guys can hear me better. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I've been a diabetic since I was 26 that I know of. My symptom at that time was blurry vision at night when I looked at streetlights and so forth. Now, I've had cataract surgery. I shouldn't have blurry vision about streetlights at night now, should I?
What I would suggest is getting, when was the last time you had your eyes examined? You probably need to see your eye, have a really thorough dilated eye exam, because there's many other issues that can also affect the eyes.
Yeah, I realize that. I am going in about a week or about a month. They're so booked up because of the virus, because some of their doctors are out.
The other thing is paying attention to what your blood sugar is. If your if you notice, hey, I've got blurry vision now. What's my blood sugar? Can you correlate the blood sugar? Is it too low or too high? Having those numbers available will be important when you go to your important appointment.
Yeah. And the last question I have, Connie, is I see my doctor every 6 months. Or, you know, a checkup, is that adequate for me as a diabetic?
It depends on how your levels are doing. And if something is changing during that 6 months, you always have the right to call and say, you know, hey, something's changing here. My blood sugars are increasing. They're dropping. I don't feel right. We need to make some adjustments in the medications.
Okay. I know some of the medications are darn expensive. Now, I've been taking metformin for about 15 years. Are there others that are less, are not terribly expensive compared to metformin?
I will admit many of the medications out there are expensive. Some insurances coverage have what they call the formularies. We will pay for this medication, but not this medication. The other thing is, for a person with commercial insurance, not Medicaid or Medicare or government insurance, some of the drug companies have programs online available that you can get, like, for example, a no copay for, maybe it's a one-time no copay, maybe it's no copay for a year, or a lower copay. The problem is the pharmacist can't necessarily tell you, hey, when you go to the pharmacy, you know, you're paying $50 for this medication. If you go online, you can get it for nothing, $10, $25. Because then it makes it look like they're getting kickbacks. Plus, it's very difficult to keep track of all of the different programs available. So if a person will go to the website and look up the medication before they get to the pharmacy, they may find that there's some cost savings available.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I've had it for 55 years, so for those who are listening, you can live with it.
Yes. Diabetes is not an automatic death sentence. It does not mean that you're automatically going to go blind, be on dialysis, and have amputations. I hear that all the time. I don't want to go on insulin because this is what happened to a relative or a loved one. It's like, oh, no, 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 no. Let's get the facts. I can't promise you that will not happen, but I can't always promise that when I get in my car, I'm not going to have a car wreck. I'm going to do my best to prevent the car wreck.
I want to make one more comment. I'm sorry to keep adding.
No, you're fine, Richard. This is, that's what we're here to inform and educate the community,
okay.
And this is something that impacts.
I have many, many relatives who have diabetes. Connie, could you talk about the genetic factor and inheritance relative to family members also having diabetes?
Statistics are kind of tough to predict. It goes back to, again, genetics and the lifestyle. So if you know that a family has a high prevalence of diabetes, one of the biggest factors is making sure those individuals get tested for diabetes. Just don't assume, no, it's going to happen to the other relative, not me. But making sure that they're tested, say, as we get older, maybe once a year.
Well, now, they didn't detect my diabetes till I was 26. But my father had it, and my grandmother had it, and all and on. Should I have been tested at a young age, like 15 or 14 or 12?
It would have depended on what your weight was doing, how you were feeling otherwise. Were you getting frequent infections? Were you having growth spurt issues? They may not have seen a need. And
shouldn't
plus,
every pediatric
you mentioned that you
examination
had it for 50 years,
just the finger stick just to be sure you're okay?
Pardon?
Shouldn't every pediatrician's visit as a kid, as a young kid, just automatically have a finger stick to see if you're okay? Wouldn't that be the best thing?
I'll be honest, it's been a while since I had a child. I don't know what pediatrician offices. How I think, you know, they can do a lot of screening. Like, for example, is a young child, has their weight changed? Are they more thirsty? Are they wetting the bed, for example? Things that are just totally out of the abnormal. And again, some of the symptoms are so vague, as you say, we don't know unless we do a blood test, and then that would be left up to the doctor's office to try and figure out, okay, how often should we screen? Some schools are also doing screenings.
Some schools,
but they tend to do more paper screens because it's difficult to take the blood tests into the public areas even before COVID hit.
Yeah, I can't see schools doing it. It's a little bit dangerous, but okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for all that.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Rich.
Okay, Joe.
So, as you heard it from one of our listeners, diabetes is not a death sentence. It's something that you can manage. And the trick to it is just following the doctor orders and getting tested. And if you're getting tested, do the things you can do to make sure that you lower your A1C to a range of someone who may not be diabetic. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City Community Radio Station. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today we're talking diabetes and diabetes care with Connie Kleinbeck, who is the clinical associate at Truman Medical Center. Stay tuned. Right back after this short break. And we're back. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking diabetes and diabetes care management with Connie Kleinbeck, who is the associate clinical educator at Truman Medical Center. Are you still with us, Connie?
I sure am.
Okay. So, Connie, as Rich was pointing out, and I'm on you all's website, let's start here. How difficult has the pandemic made it to get people doctor's appointments and treatment, in person in some cases?
I talk to patients every day. They are scared to come to the hospital because they're afraid that they will get the COVID or coronavirus. What we're doing, we are able to do video appointments with some patients. Some patients who do not have the video access, once in a while we can just do a phone call, but those are really tough to make because then the doctor can't really see what's going on with the person over the phone. We're able to do individual appointments with some of the classes. We're trying to limit in-person group classes. For the classes that we have, they are definitely doing the social distancing, like one person to a table type thing.
Okay. So, Connie, what is the Truman Medical Center approach to diabetes care management?
We want to make sure that they've got the education that they need to manage it. We have a dietitian available to help them make the dietary changes. We've got the nurses. We've got nurse practitioners and doctors. So we make sure that they've got a meter so that they can check their blood sugar and try and just teach them. We've got a series of three classes, and then we've got a follow-up class several months down the line, so that they can build on the knowledge. So in other words, you give them a little bit of information today, because if you overwhelm them with all the information, it's kind of like, okay, I need to start saving money. I'm not going to save $1,000 between now and next week. I got to save a dollar before I get there. So you make small changes. You made that, and then that allows the person to see that the successes and then build on the success to realize that they can manage the diabetes successfully.
How important, Connie, is it to have that care team that is not just endocrinologists or your internal medicine doctor, but those other doctors that are available that can work there, the eye clinic, as Rich was talking about, to get that routine care for eyes, those other people that are essential parts of your team that people need to make sure that they are getting those appointments?
Absolutely. The podiatrist is another member of the team. many people don't realize that their insurance or Medicaid, Medicare may provide them with a pair of shoes. So if you've got coverage for a pair of shoes that are going to fit and not cause damage to your foot, you know, you can prevent foot problems there. Medicare pays for toenail clipping, for example. I love how they pay for every 70 days. I'm still, there's not a good way to say, okay, I got to set my calendar for 70 days before I can get the toenails trimmed again. But people need to be aware of what their insurance covers so that they can take advantage of everything. And if they've got questions, they need to be calling their insurance company or to say, hey, I don't understand what my policy covers. Please put it in plain English.
And back to Rich's question also, you know, if you, how often should you be seeing your endocrinologist specialist? You know, is it, you know, 2 times a year, 3 times a year, once every quarter?
That's kind of a negotiation between the patient and the doctor with how well their diabetes is being managed. Are they having any complications? If something's out of the ordinary, the doctor is going to be saying, hey, we need to follow up on this. Some patients may need to follow up in a month, 6 weeks. Others may follow up in 3 months. The biggest thing is if there is a change, being aware of it and saying, I need to call and check. Do I need to make a change? Or is this something that can wait?
Connie, for those that may not have a care provider, what is the contact number for the Diabetes Care Clinic at Truman Medical Center?
Our phone number is 932-4070. So 816-404-4070. 404-4070.
And I know we're, the metropolitan area is a big area, and a lot of people, when they think Truman, that I can only go down to Hospital Hill or maybe to Lakewood. You know, I may live up north and it may be too far. Are people just limited to going to those facilities, or does Truman offer care all around the metro area?
We have other offices. University Health offices are located in various parts of the city. We've got Grandview, Raytown, Independence, and there's others that I can't think of at the moment.
Well, if you have diabetes and you need some care, and you've got some information, want to get more information, Truman has a great website. It is tmcmed.org/services/diabetes. And they've got, are you at risk for type 2 diabetes? They talk about the glucose monitoring type systems. And you can get a lot of quality information without leaving your home. And they tell you, example, you know, they talk about ophthalmology, podiatry, cardiology. You know, as well as working with the pharmacists, these are people who should be part of your team to help you manage this chronic disease that can be managed. As Rich said, he's had it for 55 years, so it does not matter when you got it. What matters is how you manage it. So,
and also, ask your doctor for a referral for diabetes education and to see an endocrinologist.
I want to go back to something as you said a little bit earlier. A lot of people may not know that during the pandemic, money is tight on everybody, and that you can get a 90-day supply a lot cheaper from mail order than you can from your pharmacy. So if you can, you know, plan, you can get it almost at no deductible. But Connie, how do people get this information? What's the best way to find out? Is it to call your medical provider and speak to one of the people and say, I have this chronic disease. What are options for getting me my medications that can save me money?
Also talk to your pharmacist to find out. Asking questions, check the website for the medication that you're on to see if there are programs available or automatic coupons. There's another company called GoodRx that also advertises on TV, and sometimes their coupons will work on different types of medications. It's hard to keep on top of all of the different programs for the medications. Truman has a medication assistance pharmacy, but the person does have to meet qualifications to get into that program. Like, for example, living in Jackson County. Some of the outlying clinics, like, for example, Samuel Rogers, SWOPE, or other county organizations, may have other programs available that I'm not. But again, it's hard to get all of the information on all of the programs available.
So there you have it, folks. Ask your doctor and ask them if they have any samples. And then, you know, in some cases, the big box stores, Costco, a lot of people don't know that you don't have to have a membership to use Costco's pharmacy. And some of their things are a lot cheaper. Getting your medication is just like shopping around for, you know, tires. You know, call this pharmacy, call that pharmacy, the GoodRx program. But, you know, see what's available and then, you know, get the best dollars. But also, if you have insurance, check with your insurance to see, you know, what can be covered and sent by mail order. As we were saying, Connie, diabetes impacts a lot of those who live in the poorest districts of Kansas City. How does the literacy rate affect diabetes treatment in these communities?
With low literacy, it's really hard to understand all of the big words that we use. It can be embarrassing to ask questions. The biggest thing I would say, whether you have an education or no education, is if a healthcare provider says something that you don't understand and they say, do you have questions? Did you understand what I said? The answer is not no or yes. If you don't understand what they said, stop. What does this mean? Say it again. Don't leave until you understand what they're telling you.
Connie, what can be done to help those individuals who reside in these communities have better health outcomes and help them increase their diabetes management?
Get as much information as possible. Some people who use the computer, there are, again, the drug companies, you can go to the particular insulin that you're on, for example. If you don't understand how to use the insulin, there's videos available. The American Diabetes Association also has things that are online that are free. So there's various apps on your phone that can remind a person when it's time to check a blood sugar, take medications, give them information on the food that they're eating.
Connie, we are talking about diabetes, but also one thing, and you've touched on it, but I want to touch it again. How important a tool is exercise in helping you fight diabetes?
30 minutes of activity a day can be as important as taking a medication. And you can walk for free. You can move for free.
So there's no excuse. You can walk around the block. You can, you know, walk different things. And walking, you're out in the, you know, you wear a mask, but you're out in public. You know, it's easily, and if you see somebody coming, you know, you can move 6 feet over. So, and just because you're outside, you know, it's not as risky as some people. Well, I can't go to the gym, but, you know, and the gym folks, they got to wipe everything down and do everything and depending on everything. So fresh air, Mother Nature's free exercise. Connie, what?
And if the weather's bad, you can also sit in your chair. There's chair exercises, too. Lift your legs, raise your arms, roll those arms.
Connie, also, what can people do to reduce their risk of becoming diabetic?
Weight loss is a big, big thing. Watching, being aware of why am I eating? How much am I eating? Controlling those portions. Eating, and people say, well, I can't afford to eat healthy. Well, when you compare the cost of a bag of apples to a 2-liter bottle of soda, which is going to fill me up quicker, which is going to last longer. A bag of carrots, for example. You know, a bag of carrots is going to cost maybe even less than a bag of chips and fill me up quicker.
How important is it for parents who may be on the heavier side begin those good eating habits so that their children may not struggle being diabetic or pre-diabetic?
Again, that knowledge is power. Making small changes, trying to avoid, limit the amount of sweets that are in the home, the processed foods, eating more salads, your fruits and your vegetables.
As we start winding up, Connie, what are the ABCs of managing diabetes?
A is for your A1C. A1C should be under 7. For a person without diabetes, it should be under 5.7. When you get to 5.7, that gets to be that misnomer, the pre-diabetes again. B is for your blood pressure, keeping your blood pressure under control. Again, watching the amount of salt that we have in our diet can affect the blood pressure. And then C is for cholesterol, trying to keep our fats low in our diet. Keeping your cholesterol low, again, is going to affect not only your blood pressure, but your heart, decrease your risk of stroke.
As we were talking about, diabetes impacts more than just the body's ability to regulate sugar. What are some of the other, and Rich talked about it, eyes, what are some of the other areas of the body that diabetes may impact?
Kidneys is another big one. We have many people on dialysis because of the diabetes and the high blood pressure. Amputations. Losing a toe, losing a limb because of a foot sore that didn't heal. A foot sore caused by improper shoes. The shoes didn't fit. You know, like for myself, I used to think that, well, if I wore a narrow shoe, yeah, I could stretch it out. I'd buy the narrow shoe because it was on sale. When I got educated on what a proper shoe was, it was like, wow, I don't have to be uncomfortable.
Well, can you repeat that number for Truman's Diabetes Clinic for those who may not have a pen or paper handy the first time?
Sure. It's 816-404-4070.
And if you want information online, you can go to tmcmed.org/services/diabetes. As we close out, Connie, do you have any last information or advice for people about diabetes and how they can help improve their diabetes management?
One last thing that I would mention is Truman has what they call the patient portal. And other health systems also have what they call the patient portal. If you've got access to the web, sign up for your patient portal. That gives you information to your labs, your doctor's visits. If you end up, say you end up in another town, you get sick, you've got automatic access to your health records. It also lets you see the past. Here's where I was. Here's the improvements that I'm making. What doctor did I see? I can't remember his name. You've got it all right there. And being a member of that patient portal allows you more access to your care. You can send messages to your healthcare provider. You can get access to what medications you've tried in the past or are currently on. So again, it helps to be a manager of your own health. Put you in the driver's seat.
I would like to thank Connie for being our guest today on Cowtown Conversations. She's a clinical educator at Truman Medical Center. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our community minute. I know that we are all suffering during this pandemic, and next week is one of the largest family gatherings of the year, Thanksgiving. While it's traditionally a time for family, friends, and fellowship, with COVID cases in the red zone and in the metropolitan area, this would be a good time to do a virtual Thanksgiving and socialize with loved ones, you know, old-fashioned ways. Do the phone, social media, Zoom, FaceTime. You know, there are people who may not show symptoms and really pass COVID on to older family members or those who may be diabetic or may have, you know, pre-existing conditions that make them more susceptible to catching COVID. Think before you decide to have a large family gathering that could expose loved ones and those who are at high risk, because our hospitals are already in a situation where the care is getting treated and, you know, there could not be a medical bed available for that family member. And that space that was filled today at Thanksgiving at the family gathering may be empty at Christmas because that loved one member was susceptible to COVID and passed away. So just something to think about before you decide to have that family Thanksgiving. So for Cowtown Conversations, it's been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day. Stay tuned for My Place with Larry J. Join us next week. We're scheduled to talk about the cardiovascular aspects and cardiovascular health. And then after that, we're going to start talking about something in December that everybody needs: insurance, from home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, and how ways to save money on insurance, especially during this pandemic. Have a great day, and again, stay tuned for My Place with Larry J. Then I go to my
brother. And I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know